بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استنى بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب وابن السبيل وما ملكت أيمانكم إن الله لا يحب من كان مختالا فخورا. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خياركم ألينكم مناكب في الصلاة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My dear respected elders, brothers, friends in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has afforded us the opportunity to witness yet another day of Jumu'ah. It comes in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where indication is made that the best day is Jumu'ah. And then in another hadith it comes, where an indication is made that the best day is the day of Arafat. So the scholars have made tadbiq, they have reconciled between these two ahadith to say that the best day in the whole year is the day of Arafat, and the best day in the week is the day of Jumu'ah. So how fortunate are we that Allah Pak has made it possible for us to witness the best day in the week. And on the occasion when Shaitan was thrown and Shaitan was made mardood, he was out of the galaxy of those that were close and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made mention one thing. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ, that you will find that most of them will be ungrateful. Most of them won't be grateful. And therefore we find one of the methods the ulama ikram explain to combat and to break the back of shaitan is to find excuses to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many things that Allah Pak has given us that if we look on the positive side, we will end up making shukr. For example, if a person has got a knee problem and somebody has to ask him, how are you feeling? One thing he may reply and say that my knees are troubling, I've got a knee problem. Or there's another way he can reply and thinks to himself and says that Alhamdulillah, Allah Pak has given me good eyesight, Allah Pak has given me a good memory, Allah Pak has given me the ability to breathe, to see, to smell. All these things he focuses on, and he doesn't focus on the one thing that he's finding difficult. Even that one thing that he's finding difficult, the architect of all architects, in his architecture, he didn't make a mistake in that architecture. It's just that we don't understand and we think that this is something wrong with us, or this is something that's against our wish. But that person who has got radha bil qada, who's happy with the wish and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even those things that he dislikes, he will start liking it, because Allah Pak has chosen it for him. Anyway, respected friends and elders, my topic for today, which I wish to discuss, Allah Pak has sent us into this world, and Allah Pak has made us social beings, meaning that at some point we will have to interact with different people, and how we are supposed to and how we are expected to interact, Allah has given us guidelines in this ayat of the Quran, which I have just read. We find that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was ordered and he was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to leave his family, to leave Sham, to leave Syria, and come to Makkah al-Mukarramah and leave his child and his wife Hajar alayhi salam at a place and at a time when there was absolutely no habitation. There was nothing there. Even the Quran describes it as biwadin ghayri zi zar'in inda baytik al-muharram, such a valley. In that valley there was no habitation, there was no vegetation, there was no sign of any life. People traveling past used to actually avoid Makkah. They would avoid it because it was such a difficult terrain to travel. It was so difficult to achieve and get anything from there. Allah Pak had ordered him now to come leave his family there. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam comes and he leaves his family, we are all familiar with the waqia. He makes a dua for his family. He picks up his hand and the first dua that he makes for his family is, Rabbana liyuqimus salah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make it such that they establish salah. And the word that he used was the plural. Those that are familiar with the Arabic language, for a single there is one type of verb that is used. For dual is one type, and for plural is another type. Here he used the word Rabbana liyuqimus salah. O Allah, make them, not only them, even the progeny, establish salah. He made dua, and the first dua that a Nabi is making is for the akhirat of his family. Unlike us, if there's no sign of life and habitation, anything, the first dua we will make is Allah Pak may must sustain them as far as the dunya is concerned. The first dua that he's making is, Ya Allah, you establish the akhirat, you make them mindful of salat. And in place and in return and in appreciation for this, not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them establish salah, if you go to Makkah Mukarramah at any time, you will find that on the time, on the dot, salah is taking place. Not one person, not two people, millions of people are making salah. Recently there was that incident of the crane that collapsed just before the salah, the Maghrib salah. Any other place in the world, you would have found that the salah would have been delayed. There would be such a major incident that there would be some delay in salah. But people that were in the haram will tell you that we didn't even realize that such a big chaos had taken place, because on time salah took place. Nothing could delay the salah. Even the stampede that took place in Mina, those such an important, such a huge thing, that those people that were there in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the haram precinct, they say the salah, the Zuhar salah at that time also took place. So this was the beauty when Allah Pak established and Allah accepts a dua to such an extent that nothing will deter, nothing will change it. The next dua Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made for his family was Faj'al af'idatam minan nasi tahwi ilayhim. That insan, being a social being, he will have to interact, he will have to meet, mingle, mix with people. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it such that people's hearts are inclined towards them. Because if insan doesn't mix with people, he will go into a state of depression. He will suffer from depression because he is made, Allah has designed him such that he has to mix, meet. So his spirits are kept high at all times. So the next dua he made was, Ya Allah, make people's heart be inclined towards them. And respected friends, Allah answered his dua. Not only did he answer his dua by sending some people to them, the whole world desires to go to Makkah. A person just returning from Hajj, you ask him, he also has got the desire to go back to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So such an answer, such qabuliyat Allah gave to the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam, didn't send two, three people from all over the world are thronging there. And not for that period of the time, right up to the day of Qiyamah. Once the engineer of the haram was down, somebody asked him a question. He said, can you tell us when this construction, this expansion of the haram will stop? Because for many, many years we're going now and we're seeing that this expansion is continuing and continuing. Such a beautiful answer he gave. He said the expansion of the haram will permanently never stop. Because Allah's design is such that people will keep on coming. And the love of this place Allah is putting in people's hearts, they will continue to come. So more and more and more people will come, and the need to expand will continue right up to the day of Qiyamah. So respected friends, Allah Pak had answered the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And the third dua that he made for his family was the dua for livelihood, was the dua for rizq. Last he made this dua, Rabbana liyuqimu salah faj'al afidata minan nasi tahwi ilayhim warzuqhum minas thamarati la'allahum yashkurun. O Allah, you provide for them thamarat. Thamarat does not only mean fruit. It means the fruit and the natija and the end results of many, many efforts. So we find the natija and the end results of efforts throughout the world, of people working in factories in China, people working in factories in Europe, people in plantations in Africa. Wherever they may be, the fruit of the world comes to Makkah al-Mukarramah. The end result, the products of the world come to Makkah al-Mukarramah. So this was the barakat. Meaning, don't let the people of Makkah slog for these things. Ya Allah, you send these things there. So a person goes to a supermarket in Makkah al-Mukarramah, he'll find things from all over the world. And the beauty, and the fruit, and the colors, and the textures, and the taste, like he'll get never in no other place of the world. The normal design of the world, the normal economic principle of the world, is the higher the demand, the higher the price. This is one place the demand is extremely high, but the price is extremely low compared to what the real equivalent is. Take one can of cool drink. Up till very recently, in fact up till now, you can still get it for 1 rial. 1 rial, anywhere in the world, you won't be able to get a can of cool drink for 1 rial. So this is the barakat and the answer Allah Pak had given Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he made dua, فَرْزُقْهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ. So anyway, respected friends and elders, the topic I'm discussing was that people have to interact, they have to mix. So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was making dua for his family, this was one dua that he incorporated, that oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make people's hearts be inclined to them, because they have to mix. And in this ayat of the Quran which I have recited, Allah Pak is teaching us how we can achieve a perfect balance, how we can appreciate and how we can fulfill the rights of everyone. And one of the fundamental aspects of fulfilling the rights of people is we have to understand farqe maratib. Farqe maratib means a person has to realize where he fits in the picture. Allah has made certain people higher than us in this world. Allah Pak has made certain people with more rights. Certain, like for example, our parents. Obviously, the highest right is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then above us comes our parents. Then some people have higher rights like our employers. And those that have equal rights to us, maybe our spouses. For example, a person is a purchaser, the buyer, they have equal rights, partners in business, etc. Then people who have lower rights, for example, our children under us, our employees. So Allah is discussing how we should fulfill everyone's rights, how we should make a ri'ayat of people's rights. This is something, it comes in hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that two things will be responsible for most people entering Jannah. One is a person's taqwa. And the second thing is a person's akhlaq. And what is the definition of taqwa? The definition of taqwa is husnul mu'amalat ma'allah. That a person, he corrects his mu'amalat, his dealings and his ways with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the definition of akhlaq? Husnul mu'amalat ma'annas. A person corrects his dealings and his ways with people. And the two most reasons for people going into Jahannam is fam and farj. That a person misuses his tongue, he doesn't speak how he's supposed to speak, and he misuses his private parts. So anyway, respected friends, in discussing this husnul mu'amalat, this husnul akhlaq, Allama Tibi rahmatullah alayhi, he goes through the khulasa of this thing, of making ri'ayat, of akhlaq, of observing and fulfilling people's rights. He says, the khulasa, this is a huge, huge subject. Imagine it is the main thing, the main catalyst for people going into Jannah. So obviously it has to be a very big thing. But he says the khulasa of this is three things. The first is talqul wajh. A person smiles all the time. This was the characteristic of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all the time he would smile, except for some deeni reason that angered him for some deeni reason. Then his face would go red. But otherwise he would be smiling all the time. The next thing Allama Tibi mentioned is badhlul ma'roof. Badhlul ma'roof does not only mean a person monetary spending, but also a person, he helps and he assists in whichever way he can. For example, if he is a doctor, he gives free advice, he counsels people for free, he doesn't charge for everything he does. A person is an architect, he's helping people in doing masajid, he's helping people in doing madaris. A person is a teacher, he may have some expertise. In whatever field he is now, in that field he's helping and assisting. A person doesn't have any qualification, but he's got experience behind his name. He uses that experience to assist those that are much more inexperienced than him. So this is also meant by good akhlaq, badhlul ma'roof. And the third thing he mentions is kafful adha, where a person doesn't inconvenience anyone in any way. He doesn't cause any harm to anybody. Then we look at Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, the way he sums up and the khulasa and the way he describes what husni akhlaq is when dealing with people. He says that Allah taghdab, a person doesn't get angry. He doesn't get angry with anybody for any dunya purpose. For any dunyawi reason, he doesn't get angry with anybody. Wa Allah tahqid, and he doesn't harbor any ill feelings, any malice for anyone. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, the giant in this field, in tasawuf, he beautifully summarizes and he beautifully encapsulates this whole thing in two words. He says, what is husni akhlaq? He summarizes it in two words. He says it's ta'ammul or tahammul. The ta'ammul meaning a person should consider the consequences of his action. Whatever action he's doing at this point, anjam dekar karna. He thinks what the outcome of this action will be, then he does the action. And the next thing that this person does is tahammul, that he makes bardashi. If anybody does anything wrong to him, immediately he tolerates it. He doesn't take any type of revenge. He overlooks it, he oversees it. So he encapsulates it in these two words, tahammul or tahammul. Anyway, respected friends and elders, Allah Pak mentioned in this ayat of the Quran, wa'budullaha wa la tushriku bihi shay'a, that become the abd and become the servant of Allah. Become the true abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody could demonstrate what is meant by becoming an abd, by becoming a true servant, more and in a higher degree than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated. We looked at his life in Makkah al-Mukarramah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through untold torturing and suffering, to such an extent that his own family wanted to get rid of him. This was unheard of. Amongst the Arabs, they had something known as Asabiyah, where when it came to their own tribe, they would do anything to fight for the person's right, irrespective of whether it's right or wrong. This person is my khandan, he's my family. No matter what it is, I'm willing to kill anybody, but I will look after my own tribal men. So this was unheard of, where a person could be thrown and kicked out of his own family. But this was done to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one is being tortured and harmed by your enemy, and one is being tortured and harmed by your own family and his own uncles. So a time came in his life, respected friends and elders, when he was boycotted. We all know the waqia. For 3 years he was boycotted. And then, after this boycott, we know that he lost his uncle. In this boycott, he lost his uncle, and very shortly, he lost his wife, Khadija al-Kubra, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this was a very short period of time when he lost both his pillars of support. His uncle had given him support from approximately the age of 9 till the age of 49. For 40 years, his pillar of support. And his wife, we know from the first day, she was the one supporting him. So, respected friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 10 hard years he's slogging. Now he decides, let me go to Taif. Perhaps these people will accept my dawah. Perhaps these people will acknowledge and accept, and they will take the message of mine. And we know he goes there. He takes Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala an, and he goes. And he gives them dawah. And contrary to his expectation, they set the street urchins upon him. And they stone him to such an extent, it comes in the kitabs, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of tiredness and fatigue, he would sit down. They would pick him up and continue stoning him. Continue. Zayd bin Harisa radiallahu ta'ala an, he would try and be a body shield for Rasulullah, a human shield for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to such an extent that he got head injuries. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had body injuries. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Zayd bin Haris, they go and they decide to take a breather, to take a breath in the orchard of Utbah and Shayba bin Rabi'ah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in this orchard and he makes a dua, such an ajeeb dua. It demonstrates to us what the level of abdiyat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has. He makes dua, Allahumma ilayka ashku du'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to you do I complain of my weakness. To you alone do I complain of my feebleness. Do you alone do I complain of my lack of strategies. Ya arhamar rahimin, O the most merciful of those that show mercy. Ya Rabbal Mustada'afin, O the Lord of the weak, O the Lord of the helpless. Illam takun alayya ghadaban fala ubali. That, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you are not angry with me, if you are not angry with me, O Allah, then all these things mean nothing to me. Respected friends, what a dua he's making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in the obedience of Allah, trying to propagate the deen of Allah, he is worried. He is worried that, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you mustn't be displeased with me. You mustn't be displeased with me. And before that he says, إِلَىٰ مَنْ تَكِلُنِي, O Allah, whom have you handed me over to me? إِلَىٰ عَدُوٍ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي أَمْ إِلَىٰ قَرِيبٍ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَمْرِي. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have you handed me over to such an enemy who will scold, will scorn, will shout at me? Or to close family members who you have totally handed my matter over? But, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are not this happy with me, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all these things don't mean anything to me. What a dua he made, respected friends. Then he picks up his hands. A'udhu bi rabbika alladhi ashraqat lahu zulumat. That I make dua and I seek protection from the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Using the nur, basically I seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must not leash his anger and ghadab upon me. He must not become angry with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and the might over everything. So respected friends and elders, when we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not frightened for the anger of Allah and the displeasure of Allah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what level of abdiyat he's demonstrating, that in the obedience of Allah, he's making dua, Allah, don't be dishappy with me. Don't be unhappy with me. So anyway, respected friends, this is the first thing Allah is telling us in this ayat, that become the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true servant of Allah. The next thing, wala tushriku bihi shay'a, do not ascribe any partners of Allah. We commonly know that ascribing a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that calling on some other deity. But in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining a lower type of shirk, shirk duna shirk, a lower type of shirk. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, inna yasir al-riya ishirkun, o kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam, that even a petty amount of showing off, even a petty amount of trying to impress somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is tantamount to shirk. How often do we try and do something and to do something that we consider good, but to impress somebody else other than Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, this is also shirk. And he makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the ayat of the Quran is mentioned, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ هَوَىٰ. Allah Pak is mentioning in this ayat of the Quran, that do you see that person who has taken his nafs as his Allah? Do you see that person who has taken his nafs as his Allah? وَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمُ وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعْلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِهِ غِشَاوَةً فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَىٰ تَذَكَّرُونَ. This is another type. Allah is likening the person following his nafs. Likening the person following his nafs with taking his nafs as an Allah. Why is that so, respected friends? Because a person has to follow his Rabb and his Ilah unconditionally. Yeah, a person is following his nafs. Whatever his nafs is telling him, he is following his nafs unconditionally. Allah Pak is saying, وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Despite him knowing what is right, despite him having the knowledge, Allah Pak is causing him to be deviated. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a seal over his hearing. Respected friends, why a seal over the hearing? Because hearing is such that you have to put a complete seal before a person cannot hear. And the heart also, you got to put a complete seal. Allah says he puts a seal over the heart. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصْرِهِ غِشَاوَةً. Allah puts a veil over this person's eyes. Now he hears, people are advising him, "By, don't do this, it's wrong, it's not correct." Even though he's hearing the advice, he's not heeding to the advice. He's seeing people in the same direction falling. He seems people doing the same thing falling. But the person is not taking any heed to that also. Because Allah Pak has sealed his eyes. And Allah Pak has sealed his heart. So nothing will assist this person. فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Allah is saying, who is there that will guide this person after this? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Do you not take heed? So respected friends and elders, this nafs is such a thing. This nafs is such a thing, a person has to be on guard all the time. In fact, Mawla Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to mention that Barosa na roko is nafs-e ammara par. Farishta bi ho jai, phir is bi mutmain na ho. They don't have any hope in this nafs of yours. Don't have any reliance on this nafs of yours. Even if this nafs of yours becomes a farishta, then also don't be mutmain. Because this nafs is such a thing, is like a person who grows up a cub, a baby lion, he grows it up from small. Instinctively, that lion has that potential to take on and to attack the owner at any time, because it's the instinct of this lion. So respected friends and elders, therefore this nafs is something we have to be careful of all the time. We find that Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi, such a beautiful thing. He says, nafsuka illam tajghalqa bil haqqi shaghalatka bil batil. This nafs is such a thing, if you don't preoccupy it with something that is correct, you don't occupy it with haqq, with good things, with the correct things, this nafs will preoccupy you with batil, with that which is not correct. Respected friends and elders, the next part of this ayat Allah Pak mentions, wabil walidaini ihsana. That show extreme kindness to your parents, because they also make their riayat, take them into consideration. And Allah Pak in many ayat of the Quran, immediately after speaking about the rights of Allah, Allah mentions the rights of your parents. وَإِذَا خَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. That immediately after Allah Pak speaks about his ibadat, he speaks about the rights of the parents. Be grateful to me and be grateful to your parents. The reason for this, ulama ikram explain, is that the main reason, the haqiqi sabab of our existence in this world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is causing us to exist in this dunya. And the zahiri sabab and the apparent reason of our existence is our parents. So even appreciate that zahiri sabab, that our parents are some means and ways for us to come in this dunya. Appreciate them and make the qadr of your parents. So fully appreciate your parents. Respected friends, in one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions, Al-walidu awsatu abwab al-jannah, fahfadha aw itrukha. That your parents are the center tier of Jannah. Either you protect it, either you guard it, or you disregard it. The choice is yours. What is meant by this in this dunya is very easy for us to understand. That a person goes into an aeroplane, he gets economy class, he gets business class, he gets first class. A person goes into a bus also, he gets these different classes. A person in this world is a blue status, then he goes to silver status, gold status, platinum status. So you have different tiers. So like that, in Jannah also there are different tiers, and the highest tier is the center Jannah, center of Jannah. Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning to us that Al-walidu awsatu abwab al-jannah, your parents are the center tier of Jannah. Either you look after it or you disregard it, the choice is yours. Respected friends, the next part of the ayat inshallah will conclude. There's no time to finish the whole ayat. But next part of the ayat is Wabidil Qurba. That make riayat and make consideration of your family members. In a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bukhari Sharif, that it comes that man sarrahu ay yubsat lahu fi malihi wa yunsa lahu fi atharihi falyasil rahima, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever it pleases that he has barakat in his risk, his wealth and his risk is expanded for him, and he wishes that he must have a long life, then what should he do? Simple nuskha, he should maintain family ties. In another hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned in Kanzul Umal, Ali radiallahu ta'ala is the rawi of this hadith. Two more things are added. A person who goes and makes a point of maintaining family ties, two more things Allah will give him izzat in his family. He will have izzat amongst his family members, respect. And the next thing is Allah will enter him into Jannah. So not only will he have barakat in his rizq, not only will he have a long life, he will have amongst his family, he will enjoy that respect, and he will be entered into Jannah. So respected friends and elders, let's make it a point to take everyone's right into consideration. Our family members, let's go out of our way to make the riayat, to fulfill the hukuk. Look at this one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which I mentioned. Who doesn't want a long life today? If you look at the medical field, it's thriving. Everyone wants to live longer. Everyone wants to excel as far as their lifespan, their health is concerned. This a person is getting just by maintaining family ties. And the next thing which everyone wants is barakat. Everyone is striving. Everyone is thinking how he can improve as far as his economic status is concerned in his dunya. How he can have more wealth. Simple nuskha. Maintain family ties. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, respected friends, give us the tawfiq of making the riayat, everyone's riayat, the riayat of Allah, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of our parents, of our family members, all those people around us. Respected friends, if we can take home one thing, one nuskha, how we can fulfill all this, is let us understand we are the abd and the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the summary and the concise way that Mullah Ashrafi Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi described is ta'ammul or tahammul. That before we do anything, let us think what the consequence and the outcome of this action is, the consequence of this speech is. The consequence, let us consider what the consequence is. And the next thing is, if ever we have to be harmed, if ever our rights have to be trampled upon, then we make tahammul, we make bardashi, we overlook it and we forgive the person. May Allah give us tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.